Hello and welcome to part three of your 2014-2015 reading. This is the segment devoted to astrology afterthoughts and a tarot card reading. My afterthoughts focus mainly on Saturn in Scorpio and the process of Saturn leaving your sign, and a few ideas about this combination in your solar return chart of the Mars-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn that is underneath the surface of Saturn in Scorpio. And just want to repeat a little bit about the, you know, being aware of the reality underneath the surface, the reality of Mars-Pluto conjunct in Capricorn underneath the surface of Saturn in Scorpio. That Saturn transit in this year's solar return chart has a kind of a surface level quality, as if it's the outer shell of something. And underneath that surface, two signs away in Scorpio, we see what's really going on. There's this, there's this conjunction of Mars and Pluto, and that is a kind of a driving engine. But there may be quite a game face on in front of that. And what I'm suggesting is that you don't necessarily, you know, take your game face off, but know what is underneath this surface reality. Now, soon enough, that reality of Saturn in Scorpio is going to change signs to Sagittarius. It's one of two ingresses of Saturn into Sag. I'm going to give you the dates right now that those things happen. Aspects, events, position, Saturn. It's already set up to do that. Okay, so the first day that Saturn enters Sagittarius is December 23rd. So we go almost out to the very end of the year. And then on 12/23/14, Saturn makes its first ingress into Sagittarius. And then it will go forward, it'll retrograde, and I'm going to skip over a few of these dates, and then, so then on June 14th, so I'm not skipping over, June 14th, Saturn retrogrades back into Scorpio, and then on September 17th, Saturn makes its second entry, this time to stay, into Sagittarius. So remember those dates. This is a long transition. Right now it is, today it is the 5th of November, and we're still 10 months out. So there's approximately an 8-month transition of Saturn changing signs. So this is a special phase. This does not always happen. Saturn often just changes signs, and the first retrograde of Saturn does not involve a sign change back into the old sign. That's how outer planets work, real outer planets, Pluto, Uranus, always make a transition, a 9-10 month at least transition from one sign to the next, sometimes even longer. But Saturn sometimes just goes straight from one sign to the next, and notably it's not doing that in this case. It is going to make a series of transits. So it's going to go into Sag, then back into Scorpio, then back into Sag. That cycle ends on September 17th, 2015, when Saturn settles into Sagittarius. And here's the theme of that. First of all, you will have Saturn in your life, as we always do, in a different way. And it is likely to have the feeling of coming out of a cast. I mean, Saturn changing signs can really be liberating. It has that feeling of, okay, got it, and now I feel so much better. The feeling of Saturn returning to Scorpio is the feeling of, okay, I'm going to tidy up this unfinished business from the past. I have got a few lessons to apply here, maybe not quite so many to learn, but to apply, to take the knowledge that you've gained in the process of living through this transit and apply it to the circumstances of your life and do any necessary completion or closure work. And then Saturn once again changes signs now into Sag. Now the theme of Saturn in Sag shifts to the self-esteem question. And I've said a lot of times, and I'll keep saying, that I think that the self-esteem question is the question of our time. It is the most important theme or issue of our time. It is very closely connected to one's sense of personhood, one's sense of belonging on the planet, one's sense of having the right to exist. And this is a real struggle. And there is seemingly this limited commodity of the right to exist, which people like to deny to others. And this needs to end, and it can end for you. The message at this first thought, you know, process around this transit of Saturn into Sag is that the underlying theme here is that your self-esteem process is a spiritual process. It is much less a psychological or emotional process. As a Scorpio, your tendency is to view the world through a psychological lens. I think in my experience as an astrologer, Scorpio is one of the most psychologically perceptive signs and also one of the most emotionally sensitive, and that implies that you live through this filter, this screen of emotional and psychological reality. And the reminder of an emphasis on Sagittarius is that your self-esteem is about a spiritual connection and much less about a psychological process. And to the extent that there is a psychological process involved, you have gone through that psychological process in the course of Saturn in your sign and the emotional process as well. And the revelation, the thing that is revealed, the mask that comes off, is the understanding that for you, not for everyone, and it may be true for everyone, but the way astrology tells the story, is this is the low-hanging fruit, is that the way to reach your self-esteem is through an inner connection to your divine source. It's not about so much about psychological work. Now, I affirm and believe in everyone who is so inclined and having any problems to go to therapy. If they can't get a grip on their issues and emotions are disturbing them and the past is haunting them and all that, definitely therapy is a great way to go. It's very helpful. It's cost-effective. And if you get the right person, you can save many years of your life that you would might have ordinarily wasted. But at the end of the day, self-esteem for you is about learning how to make your inner connection. And the good news about this is that you can seemingly, you're not really skipping steps, you're just taking a direct route, is that you can go directly to the source. Instead of having to struggle, instead of having to, obsess with sorting things out and obsessing over relationships, there's a direct way in, and the way in is to make contact with your inner divine source. This has many names in many traditions, despite which not very well known or understood as a real thing. It's more understood as a theoretical thing. It seems to be the most easily expressed in the Christian term, the Holy Spirit. I recognize this may be a kind of loaded term because I was baptized Catholic, but unlike many of my Catholic children, brethren, I did not get First Communion. I didn't get confirmed. I didn't do all the later in life rituals. I certainly didn't get married, not in a church and not anywhere. Well, kind of once in the basement of the Great Pyramid at Giza, but that's another story. And so the Holy Spirit has a, you know, you might think of the priest mumbling the words, but let's talk about the reality of this connection that every human has that is directly connected to the cosmic healing force that is sometimes known as God. And the reminder of Sagittarius, and Saturn in Sag will be one long reminder of Sagittarius for you. It will be one long quest to enter your second house, which is the house of self-worth and self-value. The message here is that self-esteem for you is just about making that spiritual contact or that spiritual leap. It's kind of hard to describe this Holy Spirit concept, but the notion is that it is a part of us that's there, if we notice it and call upon it, that is A, connected to every other person and every other living thing, and then also connected to a kind of an oversoul or overarching kind of intelligence that has the capacity to access greater power than individual human power and make corrections and reparations. It seems to be the only type of prayer that makes any sense, and that often involves some form of forgiveness. It often involves some form of directly requesting assistance, especially with one's own mental state. Note that when you are in a compromised mental state, things that are easy tend to be hard, work that might go quickly takes a long time, problems that might be solved can seem overbearing, and so the first place to seek help is with one's mental and emotional state, and that just requires that spiritual maneuver, the move of actually just addressing this inner entity that's connected to the grid, as it were, and asking for help with whatever. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. There is no order of difficulty of miracles. And so Saturn, moving through Sagittarius, which I view as the homing signal, the spiritual homing signal, right? That's the galactic core is in Sagittarius. There's this thing called the Great Attractor, much further away in Sagittarius. It is the direction of movement of millions of galaxies. It points to a kind of a dimensional portal in the universe. This is astronomy, not astrology. That all happens to be located in Sagittarius when you map it out on a tropical zodiac, very basic map of the universe, and you have that in your house of self-worth and self-value. The second, this is extremely convenient, and it is a whole other side of Scorpio that is, as far as I can tell, completely unacknowledged in the astrological literature. Not mentioned. I've never seen it mentioned. I've never heard anyone mention it. Where am I getting it? I'm reading the fucking chart. I'm just looking at a chart, and I don't even need any planets in the chart. I just need to look at the wheel and say, oh, there's Scorpio, first place. There's Sag, second place. Very nice. That's how it maps out. Add the planet Saturn, and Saturn is saying, here's the point of focus. Here's the emphasis. Here's where to face your fear. That's going to be Sag for a while. Transition, that's going to take a while. Concludes right before the autumn equinox of 2015, September 17th, 2015, then begins 2 years of solid Saturn and Sag. A long story. For you, it is the story of cultivating your inner source. The beauty of this is, doesn't need to take long, doesn't need to be complicated. It just needs to be something that you are sincere about and apply a little bit of structure, reason, and discipline. You don't even necessarily need to, quote, believe in, unquote, any spiritual agency to work with this. Indeed, belief in things can be very debilitating. I think it's much better to try a technique and see if you get a result. If you do get a result, then remember to try that technique again the next time you need a result. All right, let's crack open some tarot cards here. Electronic stuff off my desk. 4G Wi-Fi card, telephone headset, please go somewhere else, and Macintosh keyboard out the way here, Guitar pick, dragon's blood, teacup, mouse mat, purple Sharpie. Dust off all the random vegetation that's attached itself to the surface of my desk, and we're ready to go. Okay. Three cut. The spread, I'm going to yak while I pull the cards, I'm using is the Celtic Wings. This is my modified version of the Celtic Cross spread. Modified winter of 1994, 1995, when I was working for the Jack East Alone Psychic Circle, reading tarot cards on the phone all night long. I have eaten well since. It's good to have a job where I can get the occasional result. There's an article that should be attached to your reading about this spread, with including a free tarot generator using the Rider-Waite tarot designed by Tracy Delaney to accompany my article about this spread. We did that 10 years ago, man. That was a long time ago. I was living in France. But I've got your cards out here. I draw them face down. And I don't start with the first card. I start with the fourth card, because that's the card of what you want. We get the Nine of Worlds, Harvest. So the implication here is that it is time to bring in the harvest, and that you want to collect in the time of the natural time of bringing in, of reaping, of collecting what you have sown in the earth for so many seasons. First card, Censer, Woman of Wands. This is about enterprise. Censer, it's almost a water card. It's almost he's turned a fiery suit into a symbol of receptivity. So the implication of these two cards, which borrow on one another's color schemes, in the mostly in the red-orange side of the spectrum, is that this harvest of, be it psychological, emotional, material, relational harvest of life, is connected to your conscious sensitivity and your willingness to receive. And that first means receiving impressions, feelings, ideas, instructions, whatever it might be. Okay, this surrounds you and is in the process of leaving, or kind of a current events card. We get Devil's Play. I rarely see this card come up. I've been doing these readings for 4 years, and that's quite a few tarot spreads. I hardly ever see the Devil. It's the Capricorn card, and it might imply a misadventure. It might imply an adventure. It might imply an approach to life that is more fundamentally grounded in the material world than in, say, for example, the world of ideas. And we'll see what that's about. In any event, it is a waning influence. At its best, the Devil card, Devil's Play, Capricorn card, is about the conscious use of material forces, the conscious choice to build and construct using the material world. Then what guides you is what guides you, right? You can't inherently say that bricks are bad. So what are you going to build with your bricks? Fireplace, a prison, a house, picnic pavilion, a runway. Okay, next card. The Hierophant. This is in the position of 3 month-ish past, could be 3 year past, and the position reads, Hierophant in this position reads, time of sorting out has been very important to you. This understanding the differences between things. One implication of this is something I do love from the Course in Miracles, which I'm sometimes fond of quoting, when it can really break things down into the most basic math, and it's actually entirely comprehensible, which is the kind of notion here that what has the same purpose is the same. And so when making distinctions between things, look for the purpose. If you're trying to say, like, what's the difference between these two things? What's the difference between these two movies? What's the difference between that car and that car? Look to purpose. Look to the idea of purpose. If it comes down to it, you know, those two cars, the purpose may be to drive somewhere, and the one that drives better is the more suited to the purpose. Maybe could even be said to have a different purpose from one that doesn't drive as well, one that, you know, breaks down every 4 days. The car that runs consistently for months and years has a different purpose. For example, what's the purpose of that trip? Oh, is the purpose of that trip just to get away and have fun? Or is the purpose of that trip to go on mission and accomplish something? And so when making distinctions, this idea suggests that the distinction to look for is the distinction of purpose. Okay, to the right side of sensor, a little symmetry on here, Child of Worlds. It's another card of play. It's a fifth house-ish kind of a card. There's this gorgeous hot air balloon illustrated. I'll take a close-up of that. A kid in a rope swing, baseball. Dr. Wanless has, there is this roller derby going on. I'm hoping there's not a football player in this card. It wouldn't surprise me if he left it out. So it's a card of play. And it is in the symmetrically opposite position of devil's play. This is child's play. And the implication is easy. Going from devil's play to child's play, an orientation on fun as its own reward. I need to write that above my desk and have it blown up to point size 4,000. Okay, so we go forward. Now, this next position is resistance. In the old spread, it was, these are your negative feelings. In the Celtic cross spread, you might remember that phrase. I've recast it as resistance. It seems to be so strong connection between resistance and negative feelings. And that card comes up as the Hermit, and the Hermit is the process of going deep within, finding oneself. It is a strong implication of the aspect of life that is outside of partnership with another person. It's not saying there's not going to be partnership with another person, but it illustrates the facet of life that is about existence that you are in relationship to yourself. And to many, this implies a fear of relating to others in a direct and palpable way. And that seems to be connotated by the position of this card and the feeling of resistance. So the idea here is to not be afraid to live that portion of your life that is about yourself and finding your own, what you might think of as self-fertilizing ability. And, you know, relationship can take on many new dimensions once you have made contact with that self-fertilizing ability, because then, you know, for example, you're not so much depending on other people for your self-fertilizing ability, right? You don't need them to fertilize you. You can do it yourself. And then you have the whole genetic strand contained in your body, and then you can dance with another person with the whole genetic strand contained in their body. All right, onward. The next two cards are the relationship angle of the spread. Both are pointing to powerful feminine type symbols. So this may represent who you're relating to, and it might also represent how you are relating to others. The two cards in order of are Guardian, Woman of Crystals, and the Empress. The Empress is, well, the, both of these, there's similar influences. I have found that the Guardian card actually represents a protective force. This card comes up when there is a protective force present. And it's kind of one of those very palpable cards that I find to be one of the most reassuring cards in this deck, of course, masterfully illustrated by Dr. Wanless. Empress, next one out, that is about the full flourishing of your relational power. If a woman, if you are a woman, as a woman in your relationships, and if you are a man with a woman who is in her full full strength as a person, fully integrated person, these court cards are gorgeous. This is such an amazing deck. I've used probably 100 tarot decks. I just love this one. She's standing in this field in front of a mountain with a world behind her, and in this spread there are so many images of earthiness and of harvest. You have all three earth signs represented, Capricorn in Devil's Play, Taurus in Hierophant, Virgo in the Hermit, then Venus represented in the Empress. You have a kind of a Mercury in Taurus feeling in the Nine of Worlds. The Woman of Wands kind of morphs the several different elements. This is very nice spread. There's a real sense of balance here, as there is indicated in your charts as well. All right, let's check the outcome card and see where this is all pointing. It's pointing to the very mysterious time-space card, the universe, Trump 20. This is the card that you can't really say anything to, and there's really not much to say about it, though I like to think of this card as being the positive development of the suspension of judgment. So if it's proposing any action on the human plane, it's saying, do your best to withhold judgment. That does not mean awareness or assessment. It means judgment. There's a very big difference. You do need to know what is right for you, but it's always good to keep an open mind about what might be right for you in the future. And we end on something that has been a keynote of my writing the past few weeks, which is the card Courage, the Seven of Wands. And this is another one of those cards that is a very loyal dog that knows its name and knows its feeling tone. And what this dog card is about is saying, ultimately, you can do it all if you have the guts to do it. And guts is not so much about guts. Guts is about heart. The word courage has the root cour, heart, French word, probably Latin for heart. And so courage is a factor of being brave from the heart. It really means be brave. It really means have the courage to take the risk that you know you need to take. There's a lot of risk aversion in the world, and there's also a lot of frustration with stuckness and fed up with things going nowhere, and that sense of movement, that sense of motion would certainly be instilled by having the courage to take the necessary step. Okay, so that is what I have to say to you, and I wish you a very warm and happy birthday. And given all of this astrology, I'm so glad you've got some information about what's in your solar return chart. If you have additional questions, don't forget to tune in for the Talk to Me session, the live call-in. We'll probably be doing, we're a little bit behind on them, we'll be doing Libra and Scorpio possibly on back-to-back nights. Maybe the week after the full moon or so. That full moon is about to happen. Some of you may get this right before that. I think I should have this out by the night of Wednesday the 5th. I've got a little production to do. I want to get the audio all mixed in. Don't forget to tune into the 2015 annual edition, Cosmophilia, You Belong Here. I feel a very exciting annual edition coming. I am personally excited that I'm not going to be up against any retrograde planets or eclipses during the writing of the annual edition, and I'm going to take as much time to do that thing as I need to do it, and look forward to seeing you over there. That's an audio and written reading. It'll be available for pre-order coming up in a couple of days, actually. And then I usually have it out sometime between January 7th and January 10th. So I look forward to seeing you there. Don't forget, you can listen to last year's Scorpio reading for free. You just link back to it and play it. I do recommend that so you can get a chance to see how my kind of concepts materialize in your life. Also, it's good for a little bit of review and checking my accuracy and maybe giving you some new ways to think about yourself. So check that link. It should be without any password. You can just click back to last year's, and it probably will take you back to the reading before that one. All right. Thanks for tuning in. A pleasure to serve you as your diviner, astrologer, messenger. Lots of love, and bye for now.